So a couple years ago, my family and I, we decided we were going to go and take the kids on a hike. And by we, I mean my wife decided that we were going to go on a hike, and I obliged. And so we had, at this point in time, our kids were 8, 6, and then our youngest was 2. And I was like, are you sure you want to hike? And she was like, why do you work out? Like, can't you just like do that? And so I was like, okay, well, carry him. And so so we go and we go on this hike, and I had heard at this one hiking trail that that if you went off the path a little ways, you could get down to where the river was, and it's cool. Kids can like, you know, throw rocks in the river, and a lot of times there were deer down there. And so we're like, all right, that's gonna be fun. So we go, we're hiking, and we're kind of staying on the trail for the most part. And then we get to the point where you can kind of hear the water. And so I'm like, all right, well, maybe we'll just get off the trail here. And my wife was kind of like, hey, are you sure? And I was like, I have an incredible sense of direction. And I was like, so, yeah, I was like, obviously, duh, follow me as I follow God. And so like, so we go and we get down there, and sure enough, there's the river, and it's awesome. And the kids are like, ooh, ah, you know, you see a couple deer down there, and it was awesome. And so we kind of walk down the river a little ways, and then it comes time to like make our way back. And my wife was like, so wait, which way do we go? And I was like, this way, right? Very confidently. And so we walk for some time. And so we've walked for a little while, and she's like, I don't see the trail. And I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of, I think we've been following a game trail for 20 minutes. And so we're going. And we're walking, and now we're walking even further. And my wife's like, hey, why don't we pull it up on the phone? Like, let's just like Google Maps this thing, like out here in the woods. We pull it up. Sure enough, neither of our phones have service because Verizon hates Swanee. And so apparently they're just like, towers, what are those? Nah. And so we have no service. We're out here in the woods, and we're wandering around, and we're walking, and we cannot find the way back to this trail, and we're looking everywhere, and it's actually like, it's starting to get to the point where it's like, well, we've been out here for a while, and I think if we keep walking, like my wife is going like, I don't think you know where we're going. I'm like, you got me into this, you know, like, and so now we're wandering, and I look over at one point, and I see my 8-year-old, and she's gathering acorns. And I said, Blakely, what are you doing with those acorns? Like, why are you grabbing those? She goes, well, this is just in case we don't make it home tonight. And I was like, okay, you're a squirrel. You're going to eat acorns? I was like, man, shame on me, right? Like, and so here we are, and we're lost in the woods. And finally, you guys, like, thankfully, a couple walks by, and they're coming down the river, because we decided we'll walk back down to the river and try to walk back a little bit that way towards where we came, and maybe we'll see where we entered in. And we see this couple walking by, and they looked like they knew where they were going, because the gentleman had those like hiking sticks. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, whoa, dude, this is serious, you know? Like, and so he has the hiking sticks. And so I was like, hey man, like, do you by any chance know how to get back onto the trail that I can't find? And he was like, yes, just follow me and my wife, we'll get you back there. And so we followed them back to safety and back to civilization, right? Now, I say all that to say, have you ever gotten off track? And I'm not talking about out in the woods with your 2-year-old and your 8-year-old gathering acorns, right? Like, I'm talking like, have you ever gotten off track, not in the woods, but in life? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like you went right when you should have gone left, and now you don't know the way back. Like you should have stopped and turned around a long time ago, but you kept going. You should have asked for help somewhere along the way, but you thought you knew better, and so you've just been going and going, and now you find yourself completely off track, and now you guys, you are miles off of where you wanted to be, of where you thought you'd be at this point, of where you know you probably ought to be. You're miles off of who you wanted to be, of who you thought you were gonna be in this season, of who you know you probably should be as a person, of who you should be as a spouse, of who you should be as a parent, of who you should be as a sibling or a son or a daughter, a student? Have you ever gotten off track only to find yourself miles from where you wanted to be or where God called you to be? For some of us in the room, you guys, that's exactly where we're at today. For some of you in here today, you would say, hey, I'm off track. You are stuck in a habit that you cannot seem to shake or break, and you're not sure how to get back on track. And what began as something that was every so often is now more than often, and it's more often than not, and you have no idea how to get back. For some of you in here today, you are picking up the pieces of a relationship, and you're wondering, how did it get here to this? And the reality was, is it wasn't one decision and it wasn't one turn. It was a dozen small turns in the wrong direction. It was a little neglect and a little abuse. It was a little ignorance. It was a little of you not leaning towards each other and instead turning to something else. And slowly over time, and now you go, I don't know how we're going to get this back. Maybe for you today, you would say, look, I'm off track. You are lost deep in the woods of bitterness and unforgiveness. And y'all, they moved on years ago. And they've gone on with their life. But the hurt and the hate and the unforgiveness has gone on so long for you that you can't even see your way out of those woods. And you're not sure what to do. For some of you, you're off track today because you invited and you listened to the wrong voices and they steered you off track and you're not sure how to get back. And for some of you in the room, the wrong voice you were listening to was yours. And you thought you knew best and you ignored good counsel and you ignored wisdom and you ignored the path that God had laid out for you. And now you have gone so far in a different direction that you're not even sure how to get it back. For some of us, we have gotten so off track. We have been misled by sin, and sin has taken us further than we ever wanted to go and held us longer than we ever hoped to stay and has cost us more than we ever thought we could pay. Have you ever gotten off track? I have, you guys. I have. As a matter of fact, it's a big part of my story. 20 years old, I found myself so far off track from who I thought I was supposed to be, who I wanted to be, who I knew God had called me to be. And 20 years old, you guys, I still remember in Athens, Georgia, looking in the mirror and hating who I was becoming. Looking at myself in the mirror and wondering, how did I let it go this far? And the decisions that I had made and the trouble that had come with them, regretting it and wondering, how am I ever going to get back on track? And the good news is, there is a way back. The good news is, you cannot get so far off track that God can't bring you back. And that, you guys, is what we're going to talk about today. How do we get back when we've gotten way off track? So today, you guys, we're continuing. If you're just joining us, we're continuing in a series in the book of Jonah. And what we said last week, we began our series, and we said that for a lot of us in the room, whether you grew up in church, whether you would call yourself a person of faith or not, wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, right? Like a lot of us, we're familiar at least at some level with the story of Jonah. And for a lot of us, the thing that we're most familiar with, or the thing that we most closely associate it with, is that Jonah was a guy that got swallowed by a big fish. Or has everybody yelled, whale, right? Jonah got swallowed by a whale. It doesn't actually say whale in the Bible, it just says fish, but It's probably just the categories that they had to work with, right? And so Jonah gets swallowed by this big fish. And for a lot of us, that's what the story of Jonah is all about. And it makes for a great, kid's story. It makes for great VBS content. It makes for great VeggieTales and cartoons for kiddos. But what we learned last week is that the story of Jonah is about so much more than just a fish. As a matter of fact, the fish is not the point at all of the story. The story of Jonah is not about a fish. The story of Jonah is a story about faith. It's a story about disobedience. It's a story about the character of God. It's a story about how God works in the world and in our lives. And it's a story about what happens when God confounds and confronts our expectations and plans. That's the story of Jonah. And if we make it all about the fish, then we run the risk of actually missing the point of this incredible story. We also learned that when it comes to the story of Jonah, that it's not just a window into the ancient world, that it's actually meant to be a mirror that we hold up. For anyone at any time, anywhere that reads it, Jonah is meant to be a mirror, to reflect back to us and to confront our own character flaws and issues, our own pride, our own selfishness, our own self-righteousness, our own prejudices, and our own disobedience. Like the book of Jonah is meant to reflect that back at us and cause us to wrestle with those things. And so we jumped into chapter one, and what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we'll just take a chapter per week of the story of Jonah, and we're just going to break it down and see what it is that we can learn. And I'm confident, you guys, that wherever you're at on your faith journey, whether you're seeking and exploring faith, whether you're not sure what you think about any of this, or whether you're actually just looking to grow and deepen and strengthen the faith that you have, then I think that the story of Jonah has something for all of us. And so we're just taking it chapter by chapter to see what it is that we might glean from it. And so in chapter one, we were introduced to Jonah, and God calls Jonah in chapter one to go and to preach to a group of people that Jonah absolutely detested. He despised this group of people. It was the Assyrian people living in the city of Nineveh. God says, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah is appalled. He can't believe that God would call him to go there, because the ancient Assyrians, they were the most brutal, violent, bloodthirsty people in the ancient world. And so Jonah had some real understandable beef and distrust and dislike towards these people. And so God calls Jonah to go preach to them. And Jonah says, no way. And it's not because Jonah was afraid of what might happen to him. It's that Jonah was afraid of what might happen in them because of him. And you see, Jonah didn't want to go preach to these people because he thought, if I go preach to them, and they actually listen, and they repent, and they turn from their wicked ways, then God is going to show them mercy, and I don't want them to get mercy. I want them to get judgment. Jonah wants them to be judged, not saved. And so God calls Jonah to go preach to them, and Jonah says, no way, I'm not going. And so he runs in the complete opposite direction, and he runs from his responsibility, he runs from his calling, he runs from his purpose. And remember, we said that this is meant to be a mirror, and so rather than judging Jonah, as we watch him run from God, we're meant to ask ourselves the question, what might we be running from that we should be running to? And so we asked that question this last week, and I hope that some of you went home and you really did honestly wrestle with that question. Is there something in my life that honestly I should be running towards it, but I've been running from it? I've been avoiding it. I've been neglecting it. I've been ignoring it. I've been running the opposite direction because it's too uncomfortable, because it's too scary, because I don't know how that's going to go, because I don't really like what would happen if I leaned into that. And so you've been running in the wrong direction, and I hope some of you were able to at least identify it last week. And so Jonah, he runs the opposite direction. He jumps on a boat, and God allows him to run because God will allow you to run, but he doesn't let Jonah get too far. And so Jonah gets a little ways away, and God sends a storm, not to punish Jonah, but to bring him back, to wake him up, to get his attention. and to hopefully cause him to turn around. And so God sends the storm, and it does indeed wake Jonah up, and he's able to have a conversation with these sailors, and he owns the fact that, hey, this storm is my fault, and so if you guys wanna get rid of the storm, you're gonna have to just throw me overboard. And the sailors are like, we don't wanna kill you. And eventually they row, and they can't get to shore, and they realize they're gonna have to do it, and so reluctantly they throw Jonah overboard, and the storm, it ceases. And now this is where we're gonna pick up this week. Jonah has now been tossed overboard. He's in the ocean beginning to sink, and he is in a place, you guys, where he has gotten way off track. And he is far from where he ought to be, and he is far from where he ever thought he'd be, and he is far from where he knows he should be. He's far from where God has called him to be. And this is where we're gonna pick up in the story of Jonah. And what I love about Jonah chapter 2 is that Jonah is going to give us hope and show us how we can get back when we've gotten off track. So, if you got a Bible, you can turn there. It's amazing. I'm actually gonna start in Jonah chapter 1, the very end of Jonah chapter 1 and going into chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible, again, I'll always have it up here, so no guilt, no shame. But if you wanna underline things as you go along, amazing. And if you don't have a Bible, I'll always throw it out there. You can go by one of our guest service kiosks on your way out today if you'd like one, and that's our gift to you. Last week we gave away like 80 Bibles, which is amazing. So yeah, so if you want one, go grab it. But if you already took one, don't go grab it, that's greedy. So yeah, I wasn't even in that, I didn't even plan to say that, but ooh, yeah, so. Yeah, so just the one. Okay, so Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 is the end of Jonah chapter 1. This is where we're picking up. They've thrown him overboard, and it says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days, 3 nights. Now, this is the part that most of us are familiar when it comes to Jonah, and you're like thinking, Reed, I thought you said it wasn't about a fish, and then you just started with the fish. Okay, listen. The story is not about the fish, and this sermon is certainly not gonna be about the fish, but we do have to address the fish, right? So Jonah gets tossed overboard. He's in a place that he knows he shouldn't be. He's in a place he never imagined that he would be. He's way off track from the call that God has on his life. And it says that the Lord provides this huge fish to swallow Jonah, and he's in this fish for 3 days and three nights. And so I'm not gonna preach this whole time about the fish, but I do wanna make three quick observations about the fish. Three quick observations about the fish. Regardless of what you think about the fish, whether you think that this is, you know, a made up part, or you're like, no, this is actually real events. Listen, there's a lesson in the fish. And so three things I wanna point out to you about this fish. First, the fish represents provision, not punishment. Do you notice what it says? Who provided the fish? What does it say? The Lord. The Lord provided the fish. The Lord provided the fish. Now, I would imagine that in that moment, it did not feel like provision for Jonah, as he's just been tossed overboard, and then a fish comes in and swallows him. He's probably thinking, are you serious? You know, like what? And yet, you guys, we know, knowing much more of the story, that this fish is actually gonna be the means of his restoration, of his redemption. It's actually gonna get him back on the right track. Can I just tell you something this morning? That sometimes in our lives, things that feel like punishment are actually God's provision. Can I just tell you that there are sometimes things in our lives that feel like judgment, but they're actually God's mercy? Can I tell you that sometimes, right, like that there are things that will happen in our lives and they feel like God's not paying attention, but it's actually God's means of getting our attention and bringing us back and getting us back on the right track, that sometimes the relationship doesn't work out and that wasn't God's punishment, it was his mercy. Sometimes the job doesn't work out and that was not God's punishment, it was God's mercy. And so the fish, first thing we need to know about the fish is that the fish reminds us that God provides. God provides a means of getting back when we've gotten off track. Not only does the fish represent provision, you guys, the fish also represents process. The fish represents that we have a God who is a God of process. I was thinking about it this week, you know, if God's main goal for Jonah was just to get him to Nineveh, then he didn't need to send a fish and make him sit in it for 3 days, right? He could have just been like, and there he is. He could have just teleported, I mean, he's God, right? Like he could have just teleported him there in a second. Like Jonah could have been like, it's my fault. And he would have been like, yep, you know, like, and just sent him there. And yet he sends a fish. And Jonah has to be in the fish for 3 days. And that's because, you guys, oftentimes, let me just propose this to you. Oftentimes, you guys, God is far more concerned with what he's doing in you than what he wants to do through you. Oftentimes, he's more concerned with what he wants to do in you and the work that needs to be done in your own heart, that he'll put you through a process because he knows that there's growth and there's power in the process that you'd never get if he just did it in a blink. Hey, I was thinking about it this week. It's kind of like, now what do we do with broken bones? We put them in a cast. And it's dark, and it's tight, and it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary in order for healing to happen. And in a lot of ways, Jonah in the belly of this fish has been put in his cast to heal, to grow, to mature, because God is more concerned with what he's doing in Jonah than just getting Jonah to Nineveh. And so the fish represents God's provision. The fish represents the process that many of us have to go through in order to grow and change and mature and be transformed. And then also, you guys, the fish is a picture, not just of how God would redeem Jonah, but how God plans to redeem all of us. The fish is a picture of how God wants to redeem all of us. As a matter of fact, who else do we know who spent 3 dark nights in the belly of the earth only to be spit back up out of the grave into new life? It's Jesus. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was preaching at one point, people had come to him demanding signs and wonders, and he's done all these miracles to prove who he is, that he actually is the Son of God, and he's done the miracles, and people keep saying, do more miracles, because really they just want him to do cool stuff. And finally, Jesus gets to a point where he goes, I'm not doing another miracle. The next miracle you're gonna get is the sign of Jonah. He says, and I'll be in the dark for 3 days, and then I'll be back. And I will usher in your redemption and your salvation. And Jonah in the belly of the fish is God giving us a picture of how he would redeem not just Jonah, but how he would redeem all of us through Jesus's life, death, burial, and resurrection. And you guys, this is actually one of the reasons why I personally, I'm not telling you how to think, but listen, the reason why I personally don't get tripped up about whether or not Jonah like could really happen, because I believe in a God who raises dead people back to life. And so a fish swallowing somebody is not that big of a deal, right? If we believe that God could raise Jesus from the dead, then 3 days in a fish is not that big of a deal. And so the fish represents God's provision. The fish represents the process in which a lot of us have to go through in order to change and mature and grow. And the fish is a picture for us of how God would ultimately redeem and rescue all of humanity, not just Jonah. And so Jonah is in the belly of the fish. God has now done his part to get Jonah back on track. But listen, Jonah has a part to play in getting back on track. And the same thing is true for you and for me. God will do the heavy lifting. God has done the heavy lifting in sending us Jesus to forgive sin and to make a way for us to be with him, but we have a part to play. One theologian would say, without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. And so if we're gonna get back on track, we've got a part to play, and that's what we're gonna see next, right? We're gonna see what part Jonah played in the process of getting back on track. And so here's what it says. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed. He prayed to the Lord, his God, and he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. The first thing that Jonah does in order to get back on track, and the first thing that we would do well to take note of if we want to get back on track, if we find ourselves off track, one of the first things that Jonah does is that Jonah prays. Jonah prays. This is an important first step if you find yourself off track and getting back on track is prayer. And it's simply because prayer is a recognition that, God, I don't got it. I don't have this. I can't fix this. I can't change this. God, this is out of my control, but it's not out of yours. In its simplest form, you guys, prayer is simply a cry for help to a God who can. And so Jonah begins with prayer, and he looks to God, and he's finally able to admit, God, I'm off track. And I need you. And that's a great way to start if you find yourself off track and you want to get back on track. It's simply to say, God, I need you. And so in his distress, he calls to the Lord. And I want to show you what Jonah prays, because you can watch his progression from being off track and defiant to actually faith and trust. You watch it happen in this prayer. And so his first step is that he prays, and these are the things that he prays. First, he says, you hurled me into the depths. You hurled me into the depths. Into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me, all your waves and breakers, they swept over me. Jonah's going like, God, you're in control. You've orchestrated this, not to punish me, but actually to bless me and to bring me back to you. God, you're in control. He's acknowledging that this is God's work that's happening. And so again, prayer is this recognition that we need God and that he's in control. And so he's acknowledging that. And then he says, I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Now, yet is one of those words that as you read your Bible on your own, which I hope you'll do, yet is one of those ones that you pause and you usually circle and you try to pay attention to what's going on around it. Like there's words like yet or but or therefore, right? Like those are ones that you usually pay attention to. I've told you guys before, if you see a therefore, you should ask yourself, what's it? Therefore, okay, at least four of you. So, you pay attention to these words. They represent transitional moments. And that's what's happening in Jonah's prayer. He's going, all right, God, you've gotten my attention. God, I recognize I am way over my head in this. I'm way off track. God, I want to get back on track. I'm crying out to you because you're in control. And he's like, even though this is a really bad situation, he says, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. This is a transitional moment, you guys, where Jonah's situation has not changed, but he is beginning to see God in it. This is something powerful that can happen as we pray about situations, as we pray about turnarounds, as we pray about trying to get back when we've gotten off track. Oftentimes when we will devote ourselves to prayer, it doesn't always change our situation, but it begins to give us eyes to see God working in it. So Jonah is beginning to see that, yet I'm gonna look again and I'm starting to see you in it with me. He keeps going. He says, the engulfing waters threatened me and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. He says, to the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord, my God, brought my life up from the pit. Now, in this moment, and honestly, in this prayer, what you'll see is that Jonah is recalling some of the Psalms, and he's kind of stringing them together. These Psalms that were written in the book of Psalms in your Bible, the Psalms are essentially songs and prayers that were written by people that had gone before, a lot of them written by this one guy named David, a king of ancient Israel. And so Jonah, he's kind of quoting these things, and there's some encouragement in this, you guys, is that at times when we're in a deep, dark mess, when we feel like we are in the belly of the beast, when we feel like we are way off track and we don't know how to get back, and we know we ought to pray, there are times, if I'm just being honest, we don't know what to pray. You ever been there? You ever been in a spot where you're like, I should probably pray, but I have no idea even what to say. Sometimes you're just like at a loss for words. Sometimes you're so mad at God that you're in this situation. And you're like, God, I don't have anything nice to say. And my mom said that if I don't have anything nice to say, I shouldn't say it at all. So sometimes you're wondering, can I be that honest with God? Sometimes you're just wondering like, is this okay? Like, I don't know what to say. And Jonah is giving us some encouragement that if you find yourself in a position where you know you wanna pray, but you're not sure what to say, one of the things that you have permission to do from Jonah's life is just pray scripture. Pray God's words back to him. I'm just telling you, there have been moments where I was not sure what to pray, but I have gone to the Psalms and I have prayed God's words back to him. And they're raw and they're honest and they're real. And so sometimes when you don't know what to pray, you go to the scriptures. There's also prayers in the New Testament. You can go see the Apostle Paul. He writes prayers for himself and for the people that he cares about. And oftentimes, you guys, when I'm in seasons like what we've been in recently as a country and as a community, there are times where I go to God and I go, God, I don't know what to pray. And I pick one of Paul's prayers and I pray it back to God and it gives me words and it's helpful. So Jonah prays scripture. He begins to quote these things back to God and he's quoting some of the Psalms. This one specifically you could read about in Psalm 40. Now, he keeps going. He says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. And now he's beginning to remember God. And you can see faith coming to life as he's praying through his situation, as he's crying out to God, going, God, I don't got this, but I'm believing that you do. As he's praying about his situation, he begins to remember the Lord. And now he's remembering that he's not alone. And now he's remembering that he's not forgotten. And now he's remembering that he's not forsaken. And now he's remembering that there is a God who's in control. And so he's remembering the Lord. And he says, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then he says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. And he's reminding himself and us that there are a lot of things that we tend to cling to when we want to try to get back on track. There are a lot of things that we want to run to and grab onto. For some of us, we're clinging to our coping mechanisms. We're clinging to substances or we're clinging to stuff. For some of us, we are clinging to a screen or a pantry. For some of us, we are checking our bank account again and again and again, or we cling to the things that we can control until we squeeze the life out of them. And he goes, man, a lot of the things that you cling to will not ultimately help you. And he's reminding himself and us, there's only one that you can cling to that's gonna get you back on the right track. There's only one that you can cling to that's gonna get you back on the right track. And it's the Lord. So Jonah prays. And through his prayer, you're watching his faith come alive. And then he makes a turn here. And this is the second thing that we see Jonah do, the second thing that we ought to do when it comes to getting back on track when we've gotten off track. He says, but with shouts of grateful praise, I'll sacrifice to you. So now Jonah prays, but Jonah praises. He praises and he gives thanks to God. And you guys, gratitude can be such a gift, a powerful gift in seasons where we've gotten off track and we know we need to get back. Gratitude can help us stay afloat when God is doing a work in us, yes? I was speaking with a man this week. His name's Durwood Sneed, which sounds like a Harry Potter professor, but he's a real person. And Durwood and I, we had a conversation this week. We met and we'll meet from time to time. And he's an incredible man and a great influence for me. And for some reason, from time to time, even though he's been walking with Jesus for more years than I've been alive, he'll call and ask, hey, Reed, can we meet up and pray? And I'd love to get your thoughts on this. And I'm like, what do I have to offer you? But we met for breakfast. And Durwood is currently in a season where he and his wife, they've been married for 52 years, and she, in 2018, was diagnosed with, Alzheimer's. And initially, it went slow, but as these things go. And anybody who's had to walk through this with a loved one, you know, it progresses and it gets worse. And it's to the point now where it's really, really difficult. And he is in a dark moment. And he would say, he's like, Reed, I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm in the belly of the fish. It's dark and I don't see a way out. And he's wondering what he should do. And he's her primary caretaker. And he said, it's just hard a lot of days. And then though, we're sitting there over coffee and I don't know what to recommend to this man. But he tells me, he goes, Reed, do you know what's getting me through? I said, no, please tell me. He said, I wake up every morning, I get my cup of coffee, and he says, and I get a little journal, and I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for. Every morning, he said, I wake up and I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for. He says, and you know what's been happening is? He goes, I'm filling up journals. And as I fill up these journals, I'm being reminded that what I have to be grateful for is far more than I have to be complaining about. And he says, I have weighty things to be concerned about, but my gratitude far outweighs my concerns. Gratitude, you guys, can be a great buoy in dark times where we feel like we're gonna sink. Jonah prays and he brings his concerns to God. He prays and he acknowledges that, God, I need your help. And then he begins to praise. He begins to give thanks. And maybe for some of you, looking to get back on track, something that you need to do so that you don't stay stuck is that you need to just begin writing down some things that you're grateful for. And maybe like Durwood, you're gonna do 5, but maybe you're like, I can't think of 5, Reed. I need 3. Maybe you're like, Reed, I can't even think of 3, then do 1. But maybe that would be something that would help begin to help your heart and your mind to get back on track. So Jonah, he prays, and then he praises God, and it begins to shift his heart and his mind and his perspective, and he's beginning to get back on track until finally, look at where Jonah finally lands in his prayer. He says, what I have vowed, I will make good. What I have vowed, I will make good. Translation, God, I'm gonna do what I should have done in the first place. All right, God, I'm back. All right, God, you've got my attention. All right, God, I'm ready. All right, God, I trust you. All right, God, I'm turning. All right, God, it's time. He says, what I vowed, the thing I should have been doing all along, I'll make good. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go to Nineveh. I'm ready to face the thing that you're calling me to, the thing that I've been afraid of, the thing that I've been avoiding. He says, I'm ready. And he says, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Basically, he's going, I'll go preach to these people and I'll tell them that salvation comes from the Lord. The final thing that Jonah does, he prays and he praises. And then finally, you guys, Jonah repents. And that word repent sometimes gets bad press in church world because people have used it to bludgeon people over the head. And if you were ever bullied with the word repent, and if that was ever used to try to intimidate or scare you into following Jesus, I'm sorry. That's not the intent. The word repent simply means to turn, change your mind, change your thinking, to get back on the right track. And that's what Jonah does. He repents and he turns from his way and he starts moving in God's direction. And so Jonah repents. And for some of us today, if we want to get back on the right track, we've identified it. We know what it is that we've been running from. We know we've identified that thing. And now it's just time for us to turn and to trust and to change and to start moving in God's direction. And so Jonah prays and he praises and then he repents. And the chapter closes and it says that the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land, which sounds really, really gross because it is. And the reason why I think that detail is important is it's a reminder, you guys, that we're all a little bit messy, amen? And Jonah is not back. Listen, Jonah is not where he ultimately needs to be. He's not in Nineveh yet. He's on his way. He's in process, but he's heading in the right direction. And his story is far from over, and he will still have some lessons that we need to learn from along the way. But for today, I want to close by just saying, have you found yourself off track? Wondering how you're going to get back? Listen, the Lord is going to do and has done his part. He has sent us Jesus, who is the means by which we are saved. and he has extended his grace and his mercy. And so he's done his part, but now he's inviting you to do yours, to simply pray and cry out and go, God, I don't got this. To begin to see his goodness and his grace all around you in spite of the situations that you might find yourself in, and to repent, to turn from your ways and to turn to him and to turn and face the thing that you've been running from. And that, you guys, is the way back when you've gotten off track. Amen? So this morning, we're gonna close, and the way we're gonna close today is just with a time of response. We do this from time to time. We don't do it every week. We try to do this around once a month where we just give space in the service for us to respond. And there's a number of ways that you can respond this morning. For some of you, you need some time to pray. And so you can stay where you're at and you can pray. Or if you're like, I don't have the words to say, I would love for somebody to pray with me or for me about a situation that I'm facing or that somebody that I love or care about is facing. We'll have some people down front that would love to pray with you. I'll be down front. I would love to pray with you. We're also going to take a moment during this time, if you'd like, to remember Jesus and by celebrating communion. And where we're going to remember that his body was broken and his blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, that God has sent us a means of redemption and salvation, and it's Jesus. And so we're going to remember that through communion. And so there'll be communion stations around the room where you can go and you can receive that. You just get up and simply go as you feel led. And then maybe you just want to sit. You just want to sit and reflect, or you want to sit and sing along with the band, you can do that as well. I'm going to close us in prayer. And as I close in prayer, when I'm done, when I say amen, you feel free to respond as you feel led. Again, you don't have any obligation to get up and do anything, but if you'd like to, you can get up, be prayed for, or receive communion, or simply stand and worship with us. But I'd love to pray and close. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. And thank you for the story of Jonah, which reminds us that we are never too far off track, that you can't bring us back. And I just pray that you would encourage somebody with that this morning. I pray that for those of us that might find ourselves off track right now, that your grace and your goodness and your kindness would lead us back to you. I pray that some of us in the room today would have the courage to pray and simply say, we don't got this and we need your help. I pray that you would remind some of us in the room today that there are far more things that we have to be grateful for than we do to be upset about. And so, God, would you remind us of the ways that you are working and have been working in our lives? And then, God, I pray that this morning that for those of us that need to take that step, that we would repent, that we would turn from our way, that we would turn from our things, and that we would turn towards you and to trust in you and the plan and the life that you have for us. And so we love you, we trust you, we give these next moments to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.